Oh yeah, about to get my Cinema Stash rehash on.
Let's go!
What?
Oh yeah.
And welcome back to the podcast. And we are going to do number two of our random, we call it a guilty pleasures, block, we'll say. Something you just couldn't help watching. And this movie, my movie I picked was Ice Pirates.
Ice Pirates. Do not Google Ass Pirates.
No, don't.
Well, and
it'll be completely different.
I messed up.
It's the Ice Pirates.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Pirates, it's the which really Ice helps. Pirates,
yes.
Because nobody's going to search the Ass Pirates. That's just weird.
Anyway, yeah, so I'm here with Wyatt Campbell.
Hello.
And Chris Mattson.
I'm back.
Yes. And this was just one of those movies.
That's what I meant to say.
This is one of those movies that I couldn't stop watching as a kid. It is ridiculous, but I love the ridiculousness. I mean, so you guys can bag on it all you want. One of my favorite movies.
I'm disappointed your parents letting you watch that as a kid. That movie, but it Chris, went so many so many different directions. It started fucking whirling different directions.
Did you go into this movie knowing it was PG?
I went into this movie knowing nothing.
Me too.
I thank Jason for that, actually, because I literally could not know less about
this
movie.
I am on the exact same boat as
kinda
you.
Did that
I don't even know what it looks. I don't even know what the cover looks like because I watched it online and yes. I didn't even try to look at the cover.
The waters for this movie were so murky that I literally had to, you know, I had a stick and I was just like, it's not on YouTube without it being jacked up, you know, like where do I
couldn't
find
it in a video store.
I mean, I could find it in a video store. I was in a pinch because we were, you know, like a little behind schedule.
Yes.
But anyway,
well, it was $7.99 on Amazon if you want to know. and now I own it forever.
But oh, I love that you bought
it. I'll never watch it again.
You will.
Oh,
I might watch it again. I had to buy it. It was $7.99. Where else are you going to get it?
No, I agree. If it's at $7.99, I'll buy it too.
I wasn't going to watch it on YouTube.
You either never watch that movie again or you give it away like Secret Santa.
Well, it's on Amazon.
Yeah, it's digitally.
So I'm stuck with that shit for the rest of my life.
You're stuck with that digital imprint.
So I might show it to my kids if Amazon's still a thing when I have kids.
Well, keep it in your catalog and maybe you'll
They're
going to
be much older than you were, I'm sure.
Oh, shit. I'm sure.
It was a different time then. Go watch the movie, first of all.
Yeah, and you have to.
Because you're about to get a whirlwind of just ridiculous. So go watch the movie. If you haven't watched the movie, this makes no sense to you.
And then to the people who are impatient and don't, let's let Jason give a little synopsis for the movie that he grew up on.
Okay, watch it and then listen.
Yeah, so this is it's long after the great interplanetary wars that the galaxy has gone dry. Water has become the only thing left of value. Evil Templars, which is hilarious, come from the planet Mithra. Have gained control of the life-giving source. Their power is now absolute, except for a few rebel pirates that survive by stealing water from the temporal fleets. So that's the basic plot of the film. So now you know that water is in control by the bad guys.
Yeah, and you should know that it's a space movie.
Yeah, and it's a space movie.
Because that made it sound like it was based in water of some sort.
Yeah, kind of. And you think that by the title.
They're not. But they are Knights Templar.
Yeah.
They're actual knights.
Yes.
So,
there's with ninja swords.
Like I was saying, if you didn't watch this movie, this is going to be the weirdest podcast you ever had in your life.
And what Jason just recited right there, there's some potential in that. But the movie doesn't unfold like what, you know, you wouldn't think.
No, it ends up being nothing about water at all, really. I mean,
there's a couple of scenes with some ice blocks.
There's a couple of scenes, but
yes,
I don't know. You're right. For a movie that where water is so scarce that people rob you of it, and you can only crate ice, there sure isn't a whole lot of footage of people drinking water
except for one moment.
The only actual footage we'll get to maybe or else the only actual footage of water is them taking like a long ass shower.
Yeah, while they have sex. Yeah, no. Anyway,
that's little of the.
But the movie starts off with like, you know, if not turning this movie off after the first 5 or 10 minutes,
you're in it for the whole thing.
Yeah. Because in the first 5 or 10 minutes of this movie, it reveals the absurdity of it. There's no ifs, ands, or uts or buts about it. No, there is a but about it. It's an alien taking a shit.
Yes.
Take care. And they walk past him, and it's like this like airplane type comedy where like they're like, deal with him, deal with him.
Take care of him.
You take care of him.
They literally scared the shit out of that alien. And one of my favorite parts is just the fact that, I mean, the score, the whole score of this is just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But yes, and they beam through this thing and they kick down the wall and they scare the shit out of that alien, literally. But I'm a huge Ron Perlman fan, and seeing him so young and this is just, it's odd for me. And he plays the character of Zeno, who
gets his hand cut off.
Yes,
pretty early in the film. In the first 10 minutes, you know, he gets his hand cut off, and it's kind of, and then he disappears for 20 minutes, so you kind of think he's out of the movie.
Well, it's kind of bad, you know, getting your hand chopped off. But the Templar Knights are hilarious because they wear chainmail.
No, chainmail in space and swords. I mean, yes. Come on, people. How confused is this universe?
They have thick English accents.
Should we really get into this right now, how confused this universe is? I'm wondering to myself, who the fuck builds a space-worthy ship and wears goddamn chainmail and carries a goddamn sword around it, like as if you're in medieval times?
Oh, man.
This movie... Jason, it's amazing, but it's fucking confused.
Okay, so we're going to jump around a bunch in this movie, but I want to know, because I have a favorite part, and I'm not talking about like a favorite like witnessing part, but the actual like storyline conceptual part was my favorite, because I just saw a movie called Interstellar that dealt with it, but I really like the fact that they brought in time.
Yeah, and
is a thing while they're going through space. That was really cool.
Or near black hole.
Like I said, we're gonna skip around a lot because the whole movie is interesting as shit.
Oh,
but yeah. So I'm not trying to skip to the end. But I thought it was really cool where they actually brought that part, because it says it throughout the movie.
I 100% agree.
I never seen Interstellar was the first thing that I've ever seen bring that up. But yeah. this is an older movie. It's a pretty cool idea.
Well, yeah,
it was a dumb idea, but it was a pretty cool idea. You know what I mean? Like, stupid idea.
Well, it's like, I mean, this movie, pretty cool. It's on acid. You know, it starts off, and you're like, okay, so it's like pirates in space, and then all of a sudden, it's like, no, wait, we're at a weird 70s disco.
Dude, with like the disco scene. Oh,
it literally,
these eunuchs. You know, like
it just spirals in and out of serious to not serious to serious to not.
Roller coaster in between serious and like 70s acid. Absurd,
the robots are so dumb,
filled shit.
So yeah, I mean, they get so jumping just real quick ahead and just kind of moving along. But it's they get caught. So they're trying to, you know, steal ice or whatever, and they get caught, and they're on. I have to talk about the eunuch scene. I mean, you can't move past.
Oh, yeah.
But even the introduction of John Matuszak character,
Killjoy
was the best name.
Probably the biggest, most mellow guy, loving guy named Killjoy you'll ever meet.
Oh my god! But and the best part is like when they talk about, you know, the eunuchs, and they don't do that to the clergy, and then somehow he swindles his ass a clergy robe and just goes, "Peace be with you, gentlemen."
Yeah.
And they go right off to the eunuch factory. And it literally is a factory, which makes no sense to me that they use actual people to castrate these people. Well, and like they do it like in an assembly line. You know?
It
makes no sense to you that there's like people that are sawing your clothes off without hitting the skin.
Hi, any chance you could help me get out of this?
Sorry.
Well, maybe we could just get together later then, huh?
Oh, I don't think you'll be up for it.
And then they're like shaving
the,
you,
yeah, and then the thing that cuts your dick off or balls or both. I mean, they're never really clear. It kind of seems like they're gonna say the whole thing's going,
yeah, you know? It's like, although, balls and everything.
I think it's balls because
the bulge
is clearly
the,
had bulge,
the bulge, the bulge are still there.
If the old lady's hiking up their pants, I mean,
they definitely didn't tape them back.
I think they had bulge. I'm saying,
I think you're right though. I think it was just the nads,
but I love that they had the gay guy shaving the penises out of all of them. They had the women cutting the clothes off, and then like the gay guys,
the old man,
this movie's very like Studio 56, yeah, or whatever. It's like, hey, like everybody's doing blow and just like there's, you know, just sexuality everywhere. But yeah, it's a space opera. I know.
He meets the princess and he walks up and the first thing he does is try to look at her titties.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is a Jason movie for sure.
That's not the first thing. First thing he does is blows like the 70s, like, dry ice smoke off of her. And then,
For like 30 seconds. Yeah. And barely doing anything.
And then he peeks at her titties. And then he's all like, as he leaves that, he says, come on, what happened to raping and pillaging?
Yeah, exactly. Like, not cool, bro.
No.
That shit would not fly today either.
No.
Oh, but, you know, I mean, the whole eunuch concept is just hilarious. It's like, it's a thing now.
Well, yeah, and at first it was kind of weird when they get into the security room, you know, and they while they're robbing the ice, you know, he's got a gunpoint, and there's those guys with the bleached hair, like, and they kind of just looked... you know, weird. I was like, where is this movie going?
Like people-sized Oompa Loompas, I thought. I was like, where are
That's what I mean. You have to stick through the first 5 to 10 minutes. And if you can get through that, then you're like in then the you're film. In. There's no way. The first 10 minutes is the cheesiest part in the entire film.
Oh, man.
But there's a lot of really, oh, my God.
Yeah, so once they get castrated, it's like
fake castor, yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I mean, the princess conveniently is like on the assembly line to, you know, let them know that, like, hey, like, I spared your balls, so you're my slave.
Exactly.
You know,
I didn't really get the princess. Sometimes she was really badass and strong, and then sometimes she was really, like, weak and timid, and I didn't understand her.
Probably like when she wanted something.
And her maid was so subservient to these quote unquote pirates, you know? Like, I mean, she put up a fight on the ship, but then,
yeah.
Like, she's like, just all in, you know, from there on out. Like, you would, like, she's obviously a slave, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this space opera, I'm just going to keep using that word because that's what this movie
is. It literally is. You can't explain it any other way. But then you see Ray Matuszak again, or I call him Ray for some reason, but John Matuszak again, Killjoy, in with the robots in a knight costume and outfit.
For those of us who didn't listen to the Goonies episode, John Matuszak is Sloth from Goonies.
Yes.
So he makes an appearance, and he is like the most jovial, nice, you know, one-lining, swindling, smooth guy named Killjoy you'd ever meet, dude. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Like, I feel like they like wrote him in, called Killjoy. He's like, yeah, like this guy will be murderous, and then Matuszak shows up on set, and he's like, dude, this is like a fucking cocaine party. hey, don't write me as a villain. I want to be like a fun loving guy, like, you know, like
I know. Every time he introduces himself, he's like Killjoy.
Yeah, and he's just totally hitting on Angelica Houston, who looks pretty good in this movie. You know,
yeah, I mean, she does.
You know, eventually they hook, it's just funny. It's kind of like I was like, why is he called Killjoy? Because I mean,
there's no reason.
Actually, it is. I didn't even like it was staring me right in the face. It's Killjoy, not like kill
joy,
unhappy, kill sadness.
I'll kill you with a smile.
So he's got
much.
Joy in his name.
Yeah.
I'm not giving it enough credit.
With the costumes in this movie is ridiculous as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You mean like
Angelica Houston is crazy. She wears like a birdcage around her like whole torso.
Okay.
Like
So before we get into the costumes, because the budget in this movie was originally supposed to be, what, $30 million or $20?
I think it was $20
million. So it was supposed to be $20 million, and this was supposed to be a serious sci-fi movie. And the studio said, nah, let's make your budget $9 million and call you a comedy. So are we looking at a movie right here where they, like, before this happened, they had already set a lot of the budget aside and started making these robot costumes that were bitching?
Probably.
And then for the patriarch, or the protagonist, like they were like, oh, we didn't make any costumes. There's a pirate movie going on
yeah, studio, to the thrift store
on Studio 53.
I mean, that movie is so strange, man. But his pirate costume was dumb. Because it was just like
It looked like
it was a fluffy T-shirt on the arms, but the front of it was just like tied in a knot.
Just a knot,
yeah.
Like it was just tied in like a girl knot. And it was like what? I don't understand. All the, it's like it literally. There was
that,
like a yard.
No, he dressed up for sex. He dressed up for sex for that scene. Like he was like it wasn't that terrible until he put on that shirt and then he actually got laid for it.
Yeah, he did.
That was the water sex scene. But yeah, he didn't put that on until then.
Either way, it was like they were wearing like straight swashbuckler clothes. But then it was like when they got back on the ship, Roscoe, who we haven't talked about, you know,
right,
the
right-hand
man of Jason.
I like the movie.
Did you like this movie? Because the main character's name is
Jason. I'm surprised
you
haven't popped this up yet. Yes, course
no,
I did.
I wrote that down. I was like, is this why Jason likes Ice Pirates? Is because there's a main character named Jason.
I'm sure that had something to do with it when I was younger, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
That isn't necessarily always true, though, because there's a movie called Something Terrace with Samuel Jackson. And the main white guy in the movie is named Chris Madsen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's just like a super racist, terrible movie. And I it was so dumb. Lakeview Terrace. If you ever watched Lakeview Terrace, the main character is Chris Madsen. It's pretty cool. But the movie was dumb. So it doesn't always work that way.
No. Well, I guess I got lucky with this one.
When I first saw that, I was like, well, okay, anyways.
To my own accord, I'll say I got lucky with this
one. Yeah, you liked it.
But anyway, I was going to say Roscoe, you know, like he switches from wearing pirate garb to like space garb. Like he... You know, he has his, like, atypical swashbuckler jacket that he, like, was sleeping with while the space herpes, which we'll get into later. And then he moves into, like, a jumpsuit.
Yeah, like a red jumpsuit straight out of Raw.
I'm like, okay,
like,
so this is, I mean, what happened? You know, like, what happened? Like, was there, like, a federation of, like, ships, and then, like, things got so out of hand that they're like, nah, we're gonna be pirate, like, we're steampunky pirates, you know? Yeah.
The movie company was just like, hey, we have a closet of shit, just go through it and see what works. You're like, well, find. This is probably the best stuff, so we'll just go with this.
That's what I mean. It's like, it really does seem like they, on the spot, they were like, our budget's so to shit, like, why waste our time trying to make space costumes out of hefty bags and
I think Roscoe is my favorite character of the movie. I don't know.
First he's funny. At first I was like, where do I recognize this guy? And I was like, oh, he kind of reminds me of J.B. Smoove, you know? But his name is... God damn it, I didn't write it down.
Getting back to the eunuch scene, that was... I just like that.
Michael D. Roberts.
He came out and he had his white fro and his white mustache, just like all the other guys. And yeah. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, I love though, like,
time, man.
When
oh totally
when they're escaping, you know, thing. And the ship, the other capital ship is chasing him or whatever, and then like he has to like play space invaders basically to like try to like repel
hit
them.
One. Hit
and
that
he
one. Goes, go that
yeah,
one.
Missed, and
yeah. and then Jason's over his shoulder going like, oh god, hit that
go
one,
on, get it, get it,
hit that one, hit that one right there.
That was pretty bad, but you know, and then that's what I love about this movie too, is like the robots have some serious sass to them.
The robots were a complete waste of time in that movie. I don't think they added anything to it at all. It just bugged me that they're so stupid. Like, why would you spend money and build the dumbest fucking robots
and then put a bow tie on it?
Like, it makes no sense.
So what was the bow tie? I was like,
apparently that has sex, apparently, because the bow tie pleased the princess. I'm pretty sure
he was massaging her.
Okay, I'm sure that. That's what the movie intended you to think.
Yeah, I love the cheesy dialogue too, and that's when she goes, "I must have overworked him," and that was just before, like, you know, Yurik gets it, you know. But no, the robots I loved, because that's what I was into at the time. You know, when I watched this movie, I had to be like 6 or 8 years old, something like that, when I first saw this movie, which apparently was very advanced for you.
I mean, but not advanced, but
but anyway, but
I don't. You probably didn't get the certain.
Oh no,
certain
I totally
things.
Didn't.
It was PG.
It was all about robots, spaceships. Aliens. I mean, that's what all it was. For
honest
me
question.
When I was a
kid. Did you, at the time when you watched this, because the one thing I would question about your knowledge at 6 years old, did you know what space herpes meant?
Not at all.
Okay.
I'm sure I did not.
That's, I mean, because to me, I'm like, there's no way a kid could even comprehend that. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, at what point in your life did you realize that they were talking about sexually transmitted
disease? Yes. The ship just got herpes.
Like, when was that? Well, like, how old were you when you were like, oh, shit, they're talking about...
Well, probably forever because I hadn't watched it since... Then when I probably got to that point.
Oh, okay, so
it probably not, like just blew past me. And
see,
I'm like, oh,
I was
God,
under the impression that you would like had this movie in your room and you VHS this like nightly. You know, this was like your jam.
I definitely watched it a number of times, probably from 6 or 8 to like.
So if you watch the VHS, is it one of those 12, movies when you usually. Get to the sex scene, it's just like blurry because it's been like wound so many times and paused?
No, it's probably very clean because I didn't quite get the reference. It's like, oh, they're having sex. Yeah. I don't know, you know.
The mushy scene.
But I have to regress just a little bit because, I mean, you have to, like, one of the funniest parts in the movie to me was the pimp bot.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Blood. You want some titties?
You want some titties?
Hey, Blood, y'all want to pump some titties?
Yeah. Hey, it's been a long time.
I heard that. Let's go, Blood. This be my bad chariot.
Come follow me, Blood. I guess I'll
give you a ride.
Well, we need a ride, so.
But that's the part that I mean, that's where, as a kid, if you watch this movie as a kid, you would get it. I mean, especially in the 80s. I mean, because what did you have really to watch in the
80s? I just feel like right now you could never do that in a movie.
No.
Like with... That's with
just
like,
different times, man. It's
different times. So I really enjoyed it because I kind of, you know, like stuff like that I'm not really aware of because I grew up in a era of political correctness, I guess is the best way to put it. But like, yeah, like I saw that
about
scene.
About
late
90s.
I was like, dude, that is fucking funny, especially if there's a black guy there, you know? Like,
yeah, it's not just like, right there.
It's not like, you know, like it's discriminating. I don't know.
It's not offensive at all. Nothing they do is offensive. It's
no. I think it's hilarious.
I just heard someone talk about it on the radio the other day. It has nothing to do with it's not racism to me. Like, it doesn't mean racism. It's the stereotypes, the jokeable stereotypes are what make, you know, it's hard to talk about and not feel like I'm saying something wrong.
And I think that's why this movie is so amazing, because it's like, whoa, like, but they it's PG, and it's like they throw so many punches out there that, like, you just know today would never
go back to the 70s with Mel Brooks and like Blazing Saddles.
Oh, Blazing Saddles is the perfect example of that.
That shit is fucking hilarious, but that stuff would never fly today.
Oh,
but it's funny. It doesn't feel, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's a different time, but I like I said,
I agree.
Because they did touch on a couple of like things that were kind of like, oh, you know, kind of uncomfortable feel, but they were funny, you know.
I thought it was just all like just funny in a like a slapstick way where it was like, okay, so this is more absurdity because they're making fun of everybody in this movie.
Yes. Yeah, everything. They're literally there's a thing from every single type of movie.
Yeah.
I mean, even down to the main two characters felt like it was a Star Wars Han and Lando type thing, you know.
The influence in this film 100%. As far as just basic sci-fi influences, and that's what it is. It's just a satire, just killing every aspect of it.
I think the robots actually look like robots, though. I'll give you that.
No,
they looked like robots, but they were clearly people in.
There were definitely people in robot.
And
robots
I thought it was really funny that they were like kind of like medieval style because like they only fought with swords. No robot had a laser. The blade aspect
of this movie was fucking stupid. I mean, come on, like they have blaster guns that go like.
And literally they had to have swords because it was called Ice Pirates.
Yeah,
I think so.
And like that whole scene when Angelica Houston is she's leading the way for everybody stealing the ice. Everybody's like has their sword out even though they're not fighting because it's like, hey, we're pirates, you know, we gotta wave our swords around, right? Like that's what we do when we pillage. Is that what we do here? I feel like that opening joke where he's like, what happened to rape and pillage? It's just like, that's like basically the movie, like them saying like, yeah, like we're called ice pirates.
So we must rape and pillage.
I guess, so we're swashbucklers. But you know what I mean? It's like a square peg round hole thing where they're like, okay, so we're going to do pirates in space.
Right.
And then like the guy sitting there when the costume designer shows up with all these like literal pirate shirts, like from Seinfeld and
puffy shirts.
And the director's like, I didn't mean like literal pirates. And she's like, well, this is what we bought. And he's like,
fuck.
We're just going to steal ice. Like just ice pirates. We're not actual pirates.
I mean, like, you know, you know what pirating means, right? It doesn't mean that we have eye patches.
We'll make it work.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I bought the costumes ready. So
she's like, well,
I heard the budget.
We bought the costumes. I've got a emaciated looking parrot over here that's going to be dubbed with some. I mean, what do you want to do?
Because it's terrible.
It is.
Okay, here's the thing. And I'm going to say this honestly to you, Jason. I feel bad saying this, man. If we weren't doing this podcast, I cannot say that I would have sat through the whole movie. I don't think I'd have made it through the whole movie. Because it got to the point where it was just so freaking cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't regret watching it. It's definitely there. I mean, I saw it. I wouldn't say it's watchable. I wouldn't say it's not watchable. I saw it with my eyeballs, so I know it exists.
I definitely, at one point, I like looked at how much longer was left. I was like, holy shit, it's a half hour left.
Yeah. So like, but at the same time, like I didn't hate it. And so it's like a weird, I've never sat through a movie where I don't know, and the outcome, I don't know how I felt about the movie. Like you know me by now. I'm pretty emotional about the movies.
That's basically what I mean by
I don't regret the time spent.
It's a guilty pleasure for myself because I grew up with this film.
But that's what's hilarious to me. It's obvious that everybody showed up on set and they were like, "Wow, our budget's been cut." Okay, so anybody got a bag of blow? let's get the cameras rolling because let's have fun.
Oh yeah,
I guess
by the way, Chris, it was supposed to be a serious sci-fi movie, and then when they slashed the budget, they said you're a comedy.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that Kevin Costner was supposed to be like, or they tried for Kevin Costner for the main.
It probably would have been Waterworld-ish.
Kevin
Costner. That's where he got the idea for Waterworld. He's like, oh, I could write a rock. I can do my own movie.
Yeah.
So he's like, no. But that's the thing about this film for sure, and I know you guys will definitely, because anybody could have probably played Jason's character. There was no standalone part where like only one guy could play this part. Like in
most movies. He was pretty good at peeking at titties.
Well, that was his definite. That was his talent. And that's all.
There's a movie to be made about how this movie was made because you know it was one of those things where basically everybody showed up and they're like, yeah, our budget sucks, and they're like, okay, so what are we going to do? All right, you go to the next set and see what's available, like what the extras are wearing. Just take it over here. I don't care if it's fucking medieval. I don't care if it's fucking swashbuckling shit. Bring it over here because we're doing Ice Pirates.
There's no way that was the original script and stuff too, though.
No, like, fucking way.
So that means at one point it was maybe a decent movie.
Well, and even in reality, at like what point could you say that there was like the atypical pirate and full on medieval armor wielding knights? You know, we're talking about two different eras in history. Because you know, pirates are more of a product of. At least the pirates they portray themselves as are a product of, you know, like we're talking post-Renaissance.
Yeah.
You know, which is after medieval.
There is so armor. Much just amazing, just it's ridiculous stuff.
That's you know what it's like? It's like, okay, so it's like medieval times, like took their dick out and fucked Pirates of the Caribbean so hard that it ended up in Space Mountain.
That's a good Disneyland description.
Well, I mean, it came out with like the weirdest sense of fucking humor you've ever seen in life. Like it kind of makes you laugh, but it kind of makes you feel weird inside.
Well, maybe it's like it fucked Star Tours. So it's like got that little cheesy sense of humor, you know, that Star Tours has.
Star Tours is good.
So let's go back on some more of the absurdity of this film because, you know, I don't know if you want to touch on the frog lady and her landcraft whole thing.
Well, the landcraft leads into like a scene we should definitely talk about.
Right.
Before that, with the frog lady, like we do have to talk about the trying to replicate a Lucas-ish cantina scene with a bunch of different aliens in one spot and having like hookahs on the tables and a weird music playing in the background. I was like, this is just ripping off the cantina scene.
Oh,
that's all it's doing.
As you watch this, you can pick apart scenes that are definitely inspired from other films.
Well, I mean. Like the whole thing where in the cantina, when the guy with the little sunglasses that lift up, like that's his thing. He's like, I've got glasses that lift up, meh, you know.
So silly. Like it makes no sense. Like they all had really cool shoulder armor.
I just want to wear like the half shoulder.
Angelica's Houston.
One shoulder has armor.
Armor was cool.
Yeah, I dug her outfits definitely.
Sometimes they had cool armor and stuff. I mean, like I said, I wait for the that happens a lot of futuristic movies. For some reason, we're going to be wearing shoulder armor. But
at first, I couldn't tell if there was supposed to be any sort of sexual tension between her and Jason.
Right.
And you know, kind of, with you know, like they all made it obvious when that whole cantina scene happens and there's the princess there and everything. But at the same time, I was kind of like, it's just kind of weird because she was the more impressive woman, you know? Like,
yeah.
She is a fighter.
Totally.
She's straight. And she's like on
clearly
his ship.
Into Jason.
And she's like at the end, she's like, well, I'll take Killjoy because he's a great guy, you know?
But
like, I'm kind of thinking like, if I was him, I'd probably take her because she's better to fly around in space with, you know?
Definitely have your back.
Yeah, maybe
more.
They're just like buddies and they didn't want to ruin that.
Yeah,
that
maybe that happens. Maybe they were related. Who knows?
I don't know.
Skywalker style.
But so, I mean, to throw a little
That's
more
Ice Pirates too.
Quick throw a little plot in there. They turn out looking for what's called the Seventh World. And the bad guys are also looking for it. So they kind of use it as a ploy to track their ship as they're looking for her father. And you meet the Amazonian women.
Oh, yeah.
With the unicorns.
And with that guy, the head.
Oh, dude. I mean, yeah. I mean, the whole...
The unicorns that just, like, spear people and they're...
And they
I
just
mean,
lose their horn. It was gnarly. Like, yeah. That poor unicorn that's lost that horn.
It was unbelievable.
I mean, what does it have to live for now? It's like, I'm not a unicorn.
Now I'm just a horse.
I never... Yeah.
Now it's a bloody-faced horse.
Now I'm just a Noah corn.
It was like it was super glued on and it fell off and it was like, actually, that's real blood. The horn was actually ripped off.
That was the most blood there was in the movie. It seems.
But
like.
I mean, just it was like the most weird. I mean, there was like just all these chicks and just bikinis for just. Well, we got to throw tits and ass in this movie.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any. It still doesn't make any sense, but we still need it.
Well, and it didn't make sense why they were subservient to this head. You know.
Yeah. Like,
it just
Bruce Valanche, what the freak. That was a perfect character for Bruce Valanche. I had never seen him in anything before. I was younger at home, I used to watch something called Hollywood Squares
shit.
Goldberg, and Bruce Valanche was always there. I had never known him in anything, and then this
and
is
now you
and
do.
I was like, what? This is terrible.
But his character was just ridiculous, dude. He never had a body, I guess. I mean, it was just like there was never a body.
No,
he was just placed there, and somehow how was he controlling his hands?
I don't know. I mean, and like just, they don't really like get into the fact that like Roscoe can build robots, but they still wield swords. Yeah. They just don't get into
that. You're punching the sword thing.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but like Roscoe's
out of
like
all the movie that all what happened in that movie. You hate the swords the most, and that's not even the worst.
It's the swords and the pirate costume.
It's called Ice Pirates, and it doesn't. They don't even go after ice.
No, they do.
They had the ice the whole time. They split into three ships and bailed, so they got away with the ice, and then captured Yurik's character. That's how that all happened. So yeah, that's when they met up. All right,
so I guess that's the Ice Pirates.
There you go.
I'll give you that.
So they've always had the water.
Okay,
but yeah, then you learn where there, you know, the several world coordinates and shit like that. But we have to hit the time warp.
Yeah, cool.
Oh yeah, I mean, are we there yet?
No, that's a good transition because that was my favorite part for sure. I said it earlier.
I thought it was well done. I liked that whole thing.
Once they made it out of the ship, that's when it got super ridiculous because then they bring up your white shirt that you love so much.
Well, wait, are we going to get into this before the absurd sex scene? Which
like, that's where I'm leading into. Yeah. Yes, because that's where it is. Because they get back to the ship, they're on their way to my robot father, and now we've got the coordinates to go.
Yeah, they have sex before the time warp because
after
the turkey with herpes.
Oh fuck! The turkey with herpes. And Ron Perlman's character was so happy that he cooked this amazing meal.
This amazing meal with his deceased mother's stuffing.
That they clearly killed aboard ship.
Which, by the way, I mean, stuffing typically you need water to make, but these people don't need that. That's okay.
Yeah, also, it's all good.
He got a little on the flamboyant side when he was cooking, which is kind of funny.
Clearly, it's his passion.
It's a little bit of spice in this one.
Here's a fucking herpy.
And then, bam, some kind of like weird water dog herpy looking thing.
Water dog?
You know what a water dog is?
Not really, but I can kind of visualize it.
Aren't water dogs the things that they like, you push on one side and it flops out the middle and comes out the other side, and you have to, like, they come out, like, you know what I'm talking about? It's like a water dog.
Are you talking about, like, one of those ecstasy toys?
I don't know. you get them out of, like, a quarter machine.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like those things that are just like, what? Like, yeah, you grab
like,
it.
They're like stress balls. Like, yeah, they're like stress things.
Just and folds
it, yeah, it just folds out.
Oh,
that's what
shit.
It looked like to me.
Okay.
It's just like an asshole that never ends.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it was like one of those with a little face on the end of it. Like a little,
kind
like,
of
Freddy Krueger slash, you know, kind of a fluke worm from X-Files kind of looking deal.
It was definitely the weirdest fucking thing. Sure.
But no, I mean, it served a purpose, you know. It threw in a... They must have lost most of their budget on that part.
The ending was... It was so stupid. The ending was great, but it was so dumb. Now that I'm thinking about it, that's all I can think about.
But no, I mean, so, like you said, the part that is so absurd to you, which I totally agree on, is the sex scene, you know. I mean, and he brings that music, and they...
The innuendo that they talk is
like... He's like, they're all making out, and they go in their little chamber, and it's like, they're making out for a little bit, and he goes... Maybe I should take off my saber.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, what's it called?
She's like, oh, it's stiff. And it's just like, come on.
He's like, passion storm.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Passion storm.
Hello. Your environmental chamber is ready. The program, Passion Storm. Enjoy yourselves.
I should take my saber off.
Let me. I feel so stiff. The belt, I mean.
So then he turns on.
Sorry.
So then he turns on his sex bed or whatever it is. I mean, like, come on. I mean,
love chamber, man. I don't know.
Yeah, or I mean, if I'm going to give him credit, like, if the writers were all like defensive about this, like, you don't know, it's like a holodeck. It just feels like there's rain on you. It's not literal rain. That's just like what they're imagining. It's like, these people are hunting in water in space.
Yes,
and they just fuck around it, but they can't drink it.
No. They're like, this is for the fuck chamber.
Maybe it's just liquid. It's not water. It's just liquid of sorts.
Well, if it was like liquefied KY, then I'd be, you know, that makes more sense. I mean, we need the lube in the sex chamber.
That's true.
Synthetic water.
I'm no physicist, but I'm pretty sure KY doesn't cascade off of the body like that.
Wait, am I wrong? Am I wrong? They were drinking stuff throughout the whole movie, and they never called it wasn't water. It was called liquid. Am I wrong about that?
I feel like the
like,
I
don't
only
think I feel like they were drinking water. I feel like they were drinking something like an artificial water.
I feel like the only water I ever saw drank was by that guy with a head when he was like drinking water from going like, man, I just drink water and I tell these lesbians what to do.
At the beginning of the movie, they like they come back here. Oh no, it's not the beginning. It's when they turn into the slave or the eunuch slave, whatever.
Oh, and they're serving.
They have the drinks and but I didn't think that.
I thought that was like liquor.
They didn't call it water.
I thought it was alcoholic or something. I don't know.
Well, shit. And then you had the weird zappy thing that they put on. They floated up in the fucking.
Oh, that's right. That chick's like getting high off.
She's like, yeah, you should try it.
Yeah, and she floats away.
Yeah,
that's like, when I was like, dude, they had a party making this movie.
Yeah, oh, you had. Yeah,
I thought for sure that was gonna come back later in the movie, but he never like used that. So I thought for sure he was gonna drink that whatever it was that she used to get.
I think it was just like that scene. Where there was so many extras, so much choreography. Like, of people walking around. All for, like, really, all they did was, like, yeah, they got caught. They got exposed.
Yeah.
You know, and they found out Killjoy was there. That's it. You know, like, they could have just done that without doing that big soiree, but they had to have the 70s party.
I feel like there was...
Oh, you had to.
I feel like it was the way they like, undertoned, like, drugs. Like, legitimately, they were getting...
It was a party.
They were getting high.
That's what I mean. Like, when this got turned into the comedy, the director was like, oh, fuck, well, you know what, studio?
Yeah, but it was...
make
but
myself
like you said,
a goddamn cocaine movie.
It was still...
Have you ever seen Xanadu, motherfucker?
It was still PG, though.
Xanadu, but it's sci-fi, bitch! Fuck you!
They still made the movie. I mean...
They
like,
did. They,
like, it still made it PG.
Yeah.
But it's 84. It's 84.
I know, but there's still not going to be a lot of drug talk and stuff in 84 in a PG movie.
I think they probably...
So they did some kind of fuzzy bubble thing where she did it. I don't know what it was that she either drank it or something.
She was just like putting it on her... I thought like
her temples.
Oh, yeah. She was like a shock thing.
It was like a...
That's right. And then she
floated
and
away.
Literally got high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta try it. You like it.
I'm trying to quit.
She's like,
so I thought that,
and then everybody else was like dancing like they were on drugs, you know?
Like, yeah, it was like a masquerade ball, but it was like.
But I feel like they couldn't
they
had to allude to it somehow, and that was the way they were alluding to it.
Totally. Yeah,
totally.
And I don't know, like I said, it was cheesy for sure.
I thought it was like for the amount of choreography they put into it, it was kind of like.
Oh, the dancing was so dumb. Now I just remember the fucking stupid ass dancing.
That's what I mean.
The choreography. So dumb.
The
dancing was so stupid.
Everything that they put into that scene, to me, I was like,
what? Yeah, we could have dealt without that.
Like, what?
Oh my god, it was such a bad scene.
But they were doing drugs, man.
I'm telling you. No, they were.
Yeah.
I mean, but I wanted dancing to be in there. Sync after the drugs. I mean, yeah,
I wanted to be like there. Paint, I just don't understand
doing the face paint, like, oh, let's like paint our faces and do mushrooms.
We're gonna do some weird like Michael Jackson Thriller dance together for no reason. That makes no sense.
That was pretty like a really slow pace too. You know, kind of like.
Yeah, it was so strange. Yes. Just a bunch of white people. It was so weird. It just felt like a bunch of just weird white dancing.
I feel like they had to like make a lot of white people so Roscoe stood out because he kept being like ostracized as the black guy.
It was definitely a point.
It was like, oh yeah, Roscoe's the black guy, and then he builds the black robot because Roscoe's black because he's proud of being black.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah.
Did you build the black robot? He's like, yeah, he's like a strong color or whatever.
Yeah. I want to be perfect. Yeah. I mean, I love that you guys love this movie. I mean, I can tell.
No, whoa.
I can feel the feeling. I can feel
love
the love.
Is a strange. Love is a strong word.
Well, I'm in like with this movie.
Yeah,
I'm not in love with it.
I didn't hate it. I'm almost indifferent towards it. I literally can't explain how I feel about this movie.
You're gonna,
I do. Okay, so we're getting there now, so we can talk about it. But I do enjoy the ending.
The ending
as far
was
as comedy,
my favorite.
As far as comedies and things go, there's actually a little bit of brain to the ending.
Yes.
Like, I had never seen anything like it before, so it was, like, actual thought.
I actually thought that, like, I mean, what, like, the intro to this movie with the Templars and the from the planet Mirtha and all those, like, kind of little name drops of things that could be a potentially, like, deep plot. I feel like the original sci-fi movie was going to be good.
It probably would have been great.
And, like, the ending kind of tells me that because the time travel part, like getting close to a wormhole and like time
being off being 1 degree as they go in.
Yeah. And all that stuff I thought was, man, if that was, they had the budget, like what was this movie?
Yeah.
You know,
could it have been?
What happened?
Like, literally. Cause it was,
there's a universe where this movie was like,
it turned such
sci-fi.
A stupid. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like on Earth 3, it's probably a great movie.
Yeah, exactly.
starring Kevin Costner. And, yeah. You know,
$20 million budget.
Julia Roberts or something.
It eclipses movies like Last Starfighter. Like, we wouldn't even talk. We'd be like, dude, yeah. Last Starfighter? No. Or Ice Pirates.
Yeah.
That's the shit.
It won 2 Academy Awards.
Yeah. Like, great
movie. You know what I mean? Like, but no, this is what they gave us. And so they have sex, of course, in the rain scene, and then they start going through time.
Yes.
And she gets sick, and now she's pregnant.
Yes.
And she goes to the door, and they're getting older, and his hair is getting longer, his beard is getting longer, Roscoe's fro is getting huge.
Yeah.
Dude, time goes by, she comes out with a son.
Yep.
Now
yep.
she has a son, so the Jason son's getting Jr. age as time goes, they're fighting.
So
and
now
fighting.
There's two Jasons, so I love it even more.
Now there's yeah. double Jasons.
Yes.
So they're fighting and fighting and fighting and getting older and older and older as time goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, that's
right
fro.
As time's about to go. Little Jason kicks out and saves the day.
Yeah.
As now, Big Jason. As Robert
Now
York's
he's regular
character.
Size Jason, and he's just Jason again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then that same. Part was really cool. I liked that part a lot. And then it goes into the ending where it was all of a sudden somehow they saved the day.
Yeah.
Well,
they made it to the seventh
normal.
World.
And they made it through yeah. the wormhole.
And that makes everything go back to normal.
Yes.
Which yeah. was just, they didn't,
because they went back into normal time.
Which, who knows? Maybe that would happen.
I think that whoever read that was like, okay, so now we're not going to give this movie a budget. Because it was like super cool. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, we made it to the Seventh Kingdom or whatever. And now everything's great. It's going to be a sweet thing about time. Time's going to take a while. Little Jason's going to come out. It's going to save the day. And they're like, holy shit, this is a great idea for a movie. And then he's like, and then all of a sudden we're going to be where we're going and everything's going to be fine. They're like, okay, comedy. Like if they would just ended right there where Little Jason saves the day and that's it, and he's Little Jason now, been great.
Or
it just comes right out of the wormhole and you see Earth and everything's
or
fine.
Or on the complete opposite side of the script spectrum, his movie started out with them bumping the into the shitter where the alien's farting and pissing. and right after they told, like, he read them that, they were like, 20 yeah, million for this true. Fucking? What are we making? Is this Alf or
no,
something?
There's okay, no so. Way they got that far.
No, yeah.
They did not sit through the whole thing. They got to the well, alien no, pooping. Like, you're right.
Like, what you said is true, though, because they came with at it with a completely different script.
Yeah.
They had to.
And they obviously didn't care for it yeah. enough. And they said, we'll slash your budget, make it a comedy.
There's
and
cool
they
points.
Went through rewrites to make... What
think
we got.
About it. Yeah. Think about it. I mean, it's
I want to know what
cool
that script
story.
Was.
It's kind of a cool storyline. Like, ice is or water is going to be a pretty crucial thing for us. And
I was all in. So, I liked the idea. Like, and I, like I said, with the like the name drops of these like conspiratory, like you know, like the Templars and Mirtha. Mirtha is a reference to a god. You know, it's mm-hmm. not just like some made up word. So I thought that was like interesting, and I kind of wonder what the original movie would have been like, because maybe it would have been deep like rooted like mythos in the you know, the actual in reality, you know, and not just straight science fiction.
Well, see, since I'm coming from my perspective, because I grew up with this movie and I loved it
uh-huh.
and I still like it, I still love it because I remember everything, but I would have wanted to see both versions.
Yeah,
I mean, I love the idea of the actual, you know, the possibility of a true sci-fi with a make it an actual space opera, but then at the same time I love the satire version, you know. Well, I would take both. That, but I'm biased.
But would you? But, you I mean, know. Like, I feel like this movie is like just a hair off of like being close to an Austin Powers '70s dance breakdown, where it's just like swing, absolutely. And everybody's just like. But damn it,
I don't know. If Jason would have said, "Hey guys, I want you to watch a satire movie called Ass." I mean, I should have known it's called Ass Pirates. For God's sake. If he would have said, "Hey." This is a silly movie called Ice Pirates. Watch it. I'd have been like, okay, I'm going to watch it. I can honestly... This is my review of this movie, okay? I would not have gotten past the initial scene where they're looking at their weapons.
That's the scene where it probably loses most.
Because I did.
I would say that.
Once really, again, it's called
so
Ice
bad.
Pirates.
It's so bad.
Literally called Ice Pirates. So
and the music doesn't help. The music
no.
is
no,
just
but
like...
It's so fucking cheesy to start. Like, right down the stairs. And so like instantly I'm thinking, like, is this... I literally didn't know what to start, if it was supposed to be cheesy, serious, or satire.
Oh, no, it is, yes.
And so, to me, I thought that it was the music and everything, and I thought it was serious, so dumb. and then once it came out satire, I was like, okay, well, it's not as dumb. But then I was thinking, like, it's like, now that I know it's satire, like, I'm not, I don't know, it was so...
If I had no idea that the budget issue happened and they got like turned into a comedy instead of like, you know, being a comedy from the start, I would be like, this movie's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But the fact that I know that, and it kind of seems to me like I'll say it, I'll keep saying it, like, this is a party.
Yes.
Like, they are all getting paid.
Yeah, I would definitely want to be... I want to be a part of the movie.
Yeah.
I just don't want to watch it.
Exactly. And I think they realized, they were like, well, our budget's $9 million, so, like, nobody's probably going to watch this anyway.
Like, but they have it on the shelf at All the Best, which is... It's still there.
Instead so, I mean, of Screamers.
They made something.
This movie has an audience. And
you're saying that because you are the audience.
No, I am not. I would
like to see the records at All the Best of who's rented Ice Pirates, and I bet you it's McClendon.
I'm curious.
I never rented it in my life.
How many people know Ice Pirates? I want to know that.
Yeah. If you listen to this and you've listened to this far, tell us you've watched this film.
Yeah.
Because seriously.
Lie to us because we know you're going to be lying.
Yeah.
No one's seen this movie.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
And if you have, your life hasn't changed for the better or for the worse. So you're right there with us.
No. But, you know, I love the fact
that... And if you do watch it, awesome.
Yeah. I love the fact that, you know, you can't hate it and you can't love it. And that's fine. Because that just means it's you can watch it. It's a watchable film.
It's watchable.
I love the film. And I'll always love this film.
It's the worst movie you've never heard of.
It's the best worst movie you've never heard of.
Okay, yeah. The best worst movie you've never heard of.
I would say... If you like the podcast, listen to it so you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Or watch it so you know what we're talking about. Other than that.
And before we wrap up, I mean, come on, let's talk about the Mad Max style desert scene.
True, true. It's definitely notable. I thought it was great. I mean, to be completely honest, I mean, that's where it definitely got Mad Max-y.
Yeah, but
there was just a little bit of everything. It was just part that's where they went in that scene.
It was. I mean, there were some awesome parts, but I did think it was funny because it was like the budget was rearing its head when like the wheels on the big thing were like oscillating, you know, because it was just not perfect.
Yeah,
and they, you know, like you could tell it was very, you know, like it was pretty much probably awesome. Like I bet you whoever made that was very proud of it.
Oh, sure.
It was like they were like, I had nothing to work with, you know. But
yeah,
when you look at those things, you're like, man, like this looks like fan fiction, you know. Yeah. Like, especially the land
kind
of the land speed, like the land vehicles.
Yeah,
like all of them look like something somebody made in the backyard, and they're like, yeah, these cardboard pieces up here, these are the solar panels.
The dude that directed this movie is gonna listen to this. He's gonna be like, there's one person that liked it.
Yeah, no, dude. I know there's so many people that love this one.
One person.
And I, you know, and I knew going into this that this would be the basic reaction.
Did
and
you?
I totally did.
Did you now?
I did.
No,
I mean, like I figured if anybody would like it, would have been you.
Like I said, yeah. I didn't. It, but
and
not,
you,
but
the
word's not dislike. I didn't dislike it.
Yeah.
My life hasn't changed at all for seeing it. That's excellent. All I'm saying. Like I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I didn't like it. I didn't dislike it. I didn't. I have no feelings towards this movie. I have never seen a movie that I just didn't. I just was so indifferent to.
I have a question for you. If it had a Velociraptor, would you have liked it?
Maybe more. I don't know why it didn't. It had everything else.
So if it instead of a space herpes, it should have been a space raptor.
No, I mean the space herpes is fine. It's fine.
I, you know, it was funny. It's like, I don't know about you guys, but I watched this movie with some closed captions. So it was pretty funny, like, you know, seeing the word space herpy on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
And everything that came with that, you know, everything else in the movie. I was just like, geez, this movie is like, the script was probably, if it was definitive before everybody was all in, which I kind of doubt, it's just still hilarious, you know? It's like, the whole space herpes thing where it's like, it seemed like every actor was all in like, oh yeah, I don't want herpes. You know? Like it was a thing and it's like, this is 1984. We're just coming off the 70s.
But, oh, you know, totally. Like, herpes was a thing then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like everybody was deathly scared. Whereas nowadays, I feel like it would be like, kind of like, you know, like, you know, oh, what, you got coal sores or something. Yeah. So.
Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and wrap this up. Like I said, I love the film. I don't care what the fuck these guys think. So either way, if you love it, awesome. Watch it if you have never. I still think it's worth it. If you're an '80s fan, film of anything,
if you want to, I
still think it's a watch for sure.
I think I would recommend this movie to anybody of our generation who's like. I would say too, if you can sit through the first 10 minutes, watch the whole thing.
Yeah, if you're sick at home and there's like rain outside and
or if you're really
no friends. and like
where the apocalypse like is happening outside.
Like nobody likes you. It's just like all bad. You would love this movie.
Or if you watch a movie like Screamers and it bums you out, and then you want something to uplift
yeah,
you.
If you want an uplifting movie after
yeah.
Screamers,
I would do that. You need that.
No, it was good. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I had no idea about this movie, so I agree. Thank you for opening my mind to this.
I like watching new movies.
Yeah.
I sat through. I appreciate sitting through it because I wouldn't give a movie like that a chance, and I did. And like I said, life isn't worse for it. So.
Well, that's perfect. I appreciate that. So, okay. Well, anyway, check out Wyatt's pick for next week, which is going to be Gleaming the Cube. That's right. So check it out. This is CinemaStash Rehash. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Cinema Stash Rehash. Be sure to give us some awesome iTunes reviews, like us on Facebook, don't forget to check out past episodes, and join us next time on Cinema Stash Rehash.